If you have your Bibles this morning, please take them and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll call your attention to verse 4, and we'll be looking at the last half of that verse this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 4, let's stand as we'll honor the reading of God's word this morning. We have just a few more sermons left, and then our series on the church in the last days will be completed. And some of you are saying, amen. But we need it. We need it. Amen. And as many of the other sermons in this series have been, this morning's going to be a little tough. Going to sting a little bit. It's going to sting all of us. Not just you, but this preacher. But however, it's in the text, it needs to be preached, and we need to be warned about it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4, I call your attention to the bottom portion of that verse. The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times are going to come, and here's what's going to happen. That men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. According to the Bible, the closer that we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more people who are inside and outside of the church, they're going to love pleasure more than they love God. And church, understand something this morning. The problem this morning isn't that you and I are not supposed to enjoy righteous pleasure, because we are and we can. The problem is that God's people love the pleasure more than the God that gives that pleasure. Right. And you're going to see that continue to worsen as we get closer to the time of Jesus Christ's return. The title of my message this morning is Ruined by Recreation. We're ruined. The body of Christ has been ruined by recreation and seeking to please ourselves rather than seeking to please God. Brother Rick Jurdak, would you pray for this message? Everybody can be seated.
Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, the opportunity to have to come to your house this morning.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I pray that going to this time of preaching, Lord, that Father, these words will become alive to us, Lord, that Father, we examine our lives, Father.
Yes.
And all blessings come.
Please.
Lord, and Father, we keep them in the proper perspective.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Father, I pray everything that's said and done, but all we can glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
In
his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. We can all be seated. Now, the average Christian is of no good to God and is of no good to God's purpose because he is consumed with pleasure and leisure. Many have bought into the world's philosophy, if it feels good, do it. Totally unscriptural, but that's what people seem to be propagate nowadays. And listen, I cannot tell you the number of Christians who have in my presence said such stupid things as, I deserve to be happy, or God wants me to be happy. In one case, the lady was implying that it was okay to play the whore, run off on her husband, leave her children, and go meet up with a dude on the internet because that's what made her happy. What she was saying is that God wants me to be happy, even if it makes everybody else miserable. But that's how deceived people are about nowadays. You don't know how much marriage counseling I've done where people come in for marriage counseling. Well, I'm just not happy anymore. I'm just not in love anymore. Well, get over it, man. Do you realize how many of us? No, I'm not saying that. I'm always happy in my marriage. Marriage isn't always about happiness. Amen. We get some amens back there. Listen. There are legitimate biblical reasons to break a marriage. But this nonsense that we break marriages over nowadays is unbelievable. And God did not, listen, that's the final point of the message today, and we'll get to it, Lord willing. But God didn't put you on this earth so you can just be happy and it's all about you. Amen. You're a humanist. It's not all about us. It's all about him. And by the way, if you'll ever make it all about him, you'll receive more pleasure in the end anyway.
Amen.
If you'll think about that. Now, this is, I will say this, and listen, like I said, this is going to sting, and I don't expect you to agree with everything I say. I'm going to purposely push the envelope. I'm going to purposely make some outstanding statements, and I'm doing it on purpose, not necessarily even to get you to agree with everything, but you should never, none of you should disagree with the theme of the message. None of you should disagree with where I'm going at. But let me just tell you from my experience what I've seen as a pastor over the many years. This is the most vacationist society I have ever seen. People can't make their car payment, but they have an extra $2,000 to go to Pigeon Forge. Do what you want to, man. But you know what your problem is? You are addicted to pleasure. You can't pay the light bill, but you smoke two packs a day. You can't pay your rent, but you eat out every night. I like beanie weenies. You ought to try them. People go on vacation to go to a casino, blow their money, come back home, turn in their title to their car, get a $1,500 loan so they can eat that week and make their house payment. Everybody all right? I'm just getting started. That's what's wrong with everybody. Why do people do stupid things like that? They are addicted to pleasure. Addicted to pleasure. There are some people in here this morning, possibly, that would love to give more to the cause of Christ, but you can't. Because you spend so much weekly and monthly and annually on restaurants, hunting and fishing supplies, name brand clothes, ball tournaments, cable TV, internet hookup, and updating your cell phone every year. I'm not against, now everybody just relax. I got a cell phone. I've got internet access. I've got several of those things. I will be spending money on turkey hunting paraphernalia. You can believe that. I'm not against all that. I'm not saying that's wrong. You know what the problem is? You just overcharge with that. And it's all about that, just looking for one more thing, if I can buy one more thing. And some people, it's one more relationship or one more thing I can purchase or one more degree I can get or one more job I can get or one more step I can take. And you're never happy. You're addicted to something besides the only thing that can bring you happiness, and that's Jesus Christ. But we are addicted to pleasure. Now, if you don't believe that, you go in any restaurant, any doctor's office, any waiting room, and nobody is talking because they can't stand to be bored. They won't even make eye contact with you. They're playing on their phone. Do you know why people are constantly playing on their phone? You know why some of you teenagers are constantly playing on your phone? You know why when you adults go out to eat with the preacher and you play on your phone? It's because you're addicted to pleasure.
Yeah.
A lover's of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than talking to my preacher. I could care less, but well, let me just rephrase that. Yeah, I would. You know, to me, a meal is let's go out and eat and talk to one another.
Amen.
Now, my wife accuses me of eating real fast, and I do eat real fast. But listen, I'll eat my meal, and I'll talk to you while you're eating.
Amen.
But don't bring the stupid cell phone. That's no kind of fellowship. That's no kind of communion.
Amen.
Do you know why? You're addicted. You're addicted. You can't put it down. I've always got to be entertained. Always got to have images flashing. Always got to have something. I can't be bored. I can't be silent with my thoughts. I can't meditate. I can't think. I've just got to have something going all the time. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Amen.
Thank you. I'll get one amen in here. Unfortunately, our nation is full of drunken, pill-popping fornicators who are trying to stay happy by immersing themselves in the wicked pleasures of the world. And it's just going to continue to get worse. So I have a few things I want to say to us here this morning, to us who are guilty of love and pleasure more than we do God at times. And I just pray for the next few minutes, church, we will all search our hearts and implore our Lord to forgive us. Help us to love the giver more than the gifts. Have more desire of a desire to please him than ourselves. Here we go. Point number one. You need to understand, we're going to look at that word pleasure, because it says the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The pleasure of sin is short-lived. Now, you may love pleasure. You may love things that are not sinful, but the way you use them, it makes them sinful. But listen to me. The pleasure of sin is short-lived. Hebrews 11:25 talks about enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season. Yes, sin is enjoyable. It's pleasurable. If it wasn't pleasurable, people wouldn't do it. But it's for a season. See, you have that season of reaping, a season of planting, rather. But then you have that season of reaping. And listen, all pleasure that you derive from sin is just temporary. It's very temporary. You would listen to me, church. Please get a hold of this. You will never do enough. You will never spend enough. You will never enjoy enough. You will never be completely satisfied with the pleasures of this world. But you'll continue to love them more than God, and you'll reject the only one that can truly make you happy.
Yeah.
That's where you get messed up. The pleasure of sin is very short-lived. It's very temporary. Is there anybody in here besides me that's you've seen this come to fruition in your life? You went out there and you was... thought, this is what's going to make me happy. This is what I want. I'm going to enjoy this. And then there was a time of reaping. And the pleasure was gone. And the feeling was gone. But I tell you what wasn't gone. The crop you had planted. Can anybody say that? Anybody agree with me on that? It's just absolutely true. The pleasure of sin is short-lived. Number two. Listen, this is very important. We love pleasure more than we love God because we love ourselves more than we love God. And if you don't believe that, do you remember the very first one in this list when I began this series some months ago? I told you that all the other ones came after this one because all the other ones was a byproduct of this problem. And the problem is found there in our text, 2 Timothy 3:2. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Do you know why we love pleasures more than we love God? We love ourselves too much.
Amen.
Everybody in here loves yourself pretty good. We love pleasure. We love pleasing ourselves more than the one who gives us that pleasure. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 29, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. Even as the Lord of the church, we don't hate our flesh. We love our flesh. We pamper our flesh. We want to please our flesh.
Yes.
We're ruined. We're ruined because of it. Here's a verse I threw in that has really nothing to do with the flow of this sermon, but I just like it, so I'm just going to throw it in. Preachers do that all the time anyway. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13, I was just looking at the way that word pleasure or a form of that word shows up in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13 says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it, listen, they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. And I got to thinking, that's why that Antifa bunch going around burning down cities and killing innocent folks. They get pleasure out of it. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You say, how in the world can people get pleasure out of burning down cities and burning and murdering and killing innocent people? Oh, I reckon the same way your teenagers get pleasure out of killing zombies and blowing up guts and everything on their computer games.
Amen.
You're watching your horror movies where people's running around stabbing and grabbing folks and paying good money to see all that.
Yeah.
Everybody all right? The truth hurts sometimes. You know what I've learned about when I pick up this Bible? You know what I learned about when I go and sit and another man preaches to me? What I do is I put blinders on. And I don't care if I know the biggest hypocrite in Dyersburg just walked in. Who cares? I say, God, these verses are for me. That preaching today is for me. It's not my wife, it's not anybody else around me, not my neighbor, it's for me. God, would you show me where I've got problems? And he'll show you every time, because you got problems every time you come to church. You're not arrived, you've not arrived, and God's got something to show you in the book, But the problem is the average Christian shows up looking for somebody else's problem. The average Christian shows up and they read that and they go, I wish old brother so-and-so was here to hear that. Well, brother so-and-so ain't here, but you are, blessed the Lord, oh my soul. It might be for you.
Amen.
Everybody all right? I mean, isn't that true? Many times we're just looking to put it off on somebody else. All right, here's point number three. Christians who love pleasure will practically die. You're going to die spiritually. There's a verse over there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it's verse number 6. It says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now, that's talking about the qualifications of a widow woman that's going to receive help from the church if she's a certain age and has done a certain thing and she doesn't have anybody else to help her out, that it would fall on the church's responsibility to help this woman if she meets the qualification. But the Bible there is talking about a woman. It says that she's dead while she's living. How can you be dead while you're living? Well, obviously, and it's talking about a saved. I believe it's in the context of at least a saved person here. Could definitely be a saved person. It's somebody that spiritually, practically spiritually, they are not alive and going. They're physically alive, but there's something that's been turned off spiritually. Why? Because the Bible says she's living in pleasure, not godly pleasure. Listen to me, church. You will dry up on God. You will run from church. You will run from your Bible. You will run from your prayer closet in pursuit of personal pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
You'll seek the pleasure and leave the things of God every time. I cannot tell you the number of times I have seen people go cold on God and drop out of church completely due to ball tournaments and deer season and camping and going to the lake and then working extra hours to pay for all that mess.
Amen.
Because you're addicted to pleasure.
Yeah.
Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The marriage begins to suffer because of financial strain. The children begin to grow cold because they haven't been to church in months, and daddy is too selfish and consumed in his pleasure to see it or even care about it.
Amen.
I've seen it over and over and over. I heard a preacher say some time ago, he said, we are amusing ourselves to death, physically and spiritually. We're killing ourselves, amusing ourselves to death. Number four, loving pleasure will rob you of producing fruit in your Christian life. If you look in Luke chapter 8, you will see Luke's account of the parable of the sower. And when you get over there and you look at the parable of the sower, you got three main components. You got the sower, and you got the seed, and you got the ground. Now that ground is a type of a person's heart. The seed is a type of the word of God. And the sower would be like a preacher or a teacher or just any kind of Christian. So what it is, it's a picture of a fella that's taken, or a lady, if she's in a class or whatever with her children, and she takes the word of God and she sows the word of God into a person's heart. And the Bible says that when that seed goes in there, it's like planting seed in their ground, putting the word of God into your heart. And you remember that? The Bible says there's four types of ground it falls on. It says some of that seed falls by the wayside and the stupid crows come and get it. Well, I can't stand crows. Man, I like to shoot them. You PETA people, do you eat them? No, I just let them lay out there and rot. Cut that. Don't put that on live stream. But it says some of the seed falls by the wayside. Everybody all right? Somebody's looking like, man, get your Wheaties this morning. You all right? Everybody okay? Some of it falls on the wayside. Some of it lands on good ground, thank God. Some of it lands on stony ground. But then it says some of it lands among the thorns. Talking about your heart being full of thorns. Notice the wording. Just listen to the wording. Luke 8:14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard the word of God, go forth. The word of God tries to spring up in their heart after it's been sowed and are choked with cares and riches. And listen, church, and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You know what happens? It says you come in there, and the word of God is planted in your heart, and it begins to spring up, and it looks like you're going to do something. And there's so many other things in your heart that are weeds and junk, and it's the pleasures of the world in your heart, and it chokes it out and kills what God wants to do in your heart and renders you unable to produce fruit.
Amen.
You'll never produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking pleasure. Being a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. You'll never do it. This is my final point, and this is the most important point. If you don't get along with any of the other ones, please get a hold of this. You and I were not put here to please ourselves. We were put here to please God. That's why we absolutely should not be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I'm going to tell you why. You were not put here to please yourself. People have come up to me and they say, "What's the meaning of life, man? You know, what's the meaning of life, dude? Going to go up in the mountain somewhere and to bed or something. I don't know where you're going to go and shave your head. I'm searching for the meaning of life. What was I put here for? What is my purpose? What does it all mean? Am I really here?" You're really crazy. Guess what? I've got some good news for you. Free of charge this morning, except for the weekly salary you pay me, I'm going to give you the meaning of life. I'm going to show you from a King James Bible exactly why you are here and why you were created. Everybody ready for it? Are you ready? Here it is. Drum roll, please, Sonny. Give me a drum roll. That's pitiful. Revelation chapter 4, verse number Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things," here it is, "and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You were put on this earth with the primary purpose of bringing pleasure to God.
Amen.
Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. You understand that? That is the meaning of life, dude. In the long run, you will experience more meaningful pleasure here and in eternity when you live your life to please God and not yourself. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure," there's that word again, "in uprightness." God has pleasure when he sees us living upright, a righteous life, doing what he's called us to do. Now, in conclusion, church, the message this morning is pretty straightforward. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
And it's easy to understand. You're not scratching your head wondering, "I wonder what angle Brother Dennis was coming at this morning. I wonder what he was trying to get across." Let's be honest. All of us here this morning are guilty to some degree.
Amen.
Aren't we? Yeah. I'll raise my hand.
Yeah.
All of us here are guilty to some degree. We are just spoiled, aren't we? We live very rich lives and we don't even realize it. We live very rich lives and we don't even realize it. I do not believe that God is up in heaven waiting to be a killjoy and to keep you from enjoying yourself. I don't believe that. On the contrary, I believe he gives us things to enjoy. For an example, 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." That's what God said. He said, "I give you these things to enjoy." Not sinful things, but he gives us things because he wants us to enjoy them. The problem is this morning, church. We love pleasures more than we love God. We're addicted to pleasure. We're addicted to pleasing ourselves. We're addicted. We think we've got to be happy. And sometimes at times you just love sinful pleasure because we have this wicked flesh. And in this country, we don't suffer very well. And I'm afraid when the true sufferings and persecutions comes, most of us are not going to fare very well. Amen. Our dedication is to pleasure is spiritually killing the church. And it's killing you. It ensures that you will bear no fruit. It ensures that you will never, ever fulfill your true purpose for being put on the earth. And that's to bring pleasure to our Creator, to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us all this morning to repent and leave this morning fired up about pleasing Him rather than ourselves. Amen, church.
Amen.
Every head bowed and eye closed.